honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and an episode marking the 78th anniversary of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis by exploring an element of that ship's incredible story that has remained hidden for all these years. The supreme sacrifice of all 28 members of the ship's crew who had been restricted to specific duties aboard ship because of the color of their skin. The Navy was segregated, of course, at the time, and by now you may have read through the lines. If it had not been segregated, if African Americans had access to every potential position on the crew that other sailors had, surely some of them, at least one of them, would have been counted among the Indianapolis's 316 survivors. We're going to hear now from another one of the women whose efforts produced this new book, Heroes in the Shadows, Janice Alston.
My aunt Arlene, she is a historian of the family, and she had told us long ago that we had an uncle that was on the ship, but we never saw any African Americans on it. She did more research prior to the 75th commemoratory celebration that they had, but once they had it, we found out that they were going to have a committee. She told me about it, and I hopped on. I said, yes, I want to be part of that committee. And once we did that research on my uncle, you know, we found out that there were 27 others, and I said, I want to know about the other family members as well, you know.
Was there ever a time, I'm just trying to put myself in your family's shoes, because there weren't these records, because there wasn't a written history, where people didn't believe them, or where that story was questioned?
I don't think it was questioned. I believe that they just didn't believe that they were on the ship because there were no records. They were hard to find. So once we found these records, it became more believable, brought them more to life.
And the time and energy you've invested in putting this book together, what have you gotten out of that? Are there some things you've learned or maybe some experiences just in the process that stand out for you?
There was a lot to learn. I was not surprised that the information was not out there, but I feel like this is going to add to America's history. And by us putting this book together, I feel like someone's going to grab this book or someone is going to talk about the book and say, hey, did you hear about this book about the African Americans? And then maybe that person might say, well, I had a friend that knew someone that was on the ship. Matter of fact, they gave me a picture, and it's in my attic, you know. So hopefully it would just open up more doors, and we'll find out even more information about the African Americans that were on the ship, or maybe even find out information about others that were on the ship that weren't African Americans. More stories. You just never know. So it's just an added addition to the story already in place.
And for someone who buys this book and takes the time to read through it, what do you hope that they get from it? What do you hope they take away from that experience?
Just to do your research, do whatever stories that you hear about anything. Just dig a little deeper and see what's behind it. Don't just look at what you see in front of you. Just dig. You never know what you're going to find when you dig a little more. Just a little more and a little more. You'll be surprised. There's a lot of history in America.
What can you tell me about your uncle? I mean, that's part of the point of this, is to tell the stories of guys who haven't had their stories told. So how much of a story can you present to us?
And that's the thing. I did not know my uncle. My aunt didn't know him, of course. My grandmother only spoke of him a few times, but we didn't really know him. So to do the research on him and just find out his birth date, when he came on board and the different ships, it kind of brought him more to life for us. We just knew he existed, but this brought him more to life for us. So it was a great experience. So not just to bring him to life, but all of the African Americans that were on the ship. And I know there's a lot of history that has not been told, but it made it exciting that I was part of unraveling this piece of history, and hopefully it will inspire others to do the same with other stories.
That's Janice Alston. You heard her mention her aunt Arlene. That would be Arlene Taylor, who also worked on the book Heroes in the Shadows in honor of her uncle, Steward's Mate First Class Henry Jackson.
Well, when I was growing up, the only thing I knew about my Uncle Henry was from my mother's reminiscing and talking about him. He was her older brother by about 5 years. So he was also her, I guess, protector, provider, and she loved him dearly. So from my earliest recollection, my mom would always talk about the fact that she never knew what happened to him. He went to the Navy and didn't come back. Letters came saying that he had passed, died at sea, but she was always haunted by the fact that, you know, she never got a chance to say that final goodbye. She just thought he was going to go and come back in a few months or whatever. So when I was a little girl, she always talked about how much she loved and missed him and wanted to know what happened to him. Yeah, so that was my motivation, you know, for doing the research also. But of course, she's passed on now, but I'm sure she's pleased with the book.
So you've had that in your consciousness your whole life. What was the trigger? What brought this book and this project to life?
Well, first of all, as everyone says, you run into a brick wall where you can't get any more information. And I had reached that point probably about 20 years ago when I retired as an educator. So I just put everything in a folder, put it aside. Fast forward to the pandemic, and I got a letter from Jane. Jane had been in contact with the Naval Museum, and they did have a copy. I'd just given the Naval Museum in Washington, D.C., a copy of my uncle's photograph. They had his record, but no photograph. And so I was able to supply the photograph. And then maybe a month or so later, Jane sent me an email and said, I'm a member of an organization called Legacy. Would you like to share your story on the 2020 Zoom conference? And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't have that much information, you know. And so I said no initially, but I watched the program. And then I said, well, maybe I can, you know, give a little bit of information. And Jane just pulled together my information, which was more than I thought I had. I had letters and documents, newspaper clippings and things like that. So she pulled that together, and the other ladies, we all came in with just a handful of information. We worked together like tirelessly for 2.5 years to get that story together in a format that we thought people would be interested in reading.
Yeah, just that piece, meeting these other ladies and realizing there were other families that have had this similar unanswered question or this quest. What did that do for you to connect with them?
For me, it was not only exhilarating, but in a way motivating also, because when I run into the brick wall, I thought, well, there's nothing else to do. I don't know of anyone else who may have had a relative. But when I found out through the Legacy organization that there were at least two others, it gave me a revitalization and motivation to search a little more and maybe put our stories together. So I was very, very pleased to find out that there were others.
And now to see this book in print, to have people lined up, to have you autograph that book and know that they're going to read it and they're going to learn about your uncle and 27 others whose stories have never been told. What does that mean to you?
First of all, it's a fulfillment to my mom's memory. Because I know on her dying bed, when she was dying, she still wondered about her brother. She still said, I love Henry. I wonder what happened to him. So I feel like it's a fulfillment for my mom, too. Also, it's to give honor to my uncle. I never knew him except through my mother. And I thought, he needs to be recognized. He needs to be acknowledged. He was a hero. And so the book now will present not only my uncle, but like you said, 27 other men who were kind of erased from history. And so we're shining that light on them again. And hopefully others will come up as they read these stories, will think of other people in their lives, the people that they knew of, that also should join in, not necessarily on the USS Indianapolis, but other areas of life in history and everyday life. We have to acknowledge everyone. Everyone has a contribution. I just like to say that if it weren't for the Legacy organization and organizations like this and people like Jane, I think there are so many other stories and so many other people would like to share information. I wish there were more organizations like Legacy and people like Jane, because all of our stories are important. They're all part of the tapestry of human life. And as an American, you know, we all had a part. Our ancestors, just like everyone else, a part in building this country and making it what it is today. So there are a lot of stories, and I'm hoping Heroes will bring a lot more stories out into the light.
Perhaps a few of you listening right now hold some of those clues, those nuggets of information, maybe even those photographs that can unlock even more of the story. Thanks again to Arlene Taylor, Janice Alston, Ernestine Pete, Dr. Jeanette Pitts, and Jane Gwynn Goodall for their time, not to mention all the time they spent putting together this book, Heroes in the Shadows. And for one final perspective, we turn to one of the foremost authorities on the Indy story. He's the chairman of the USS Indianapolis Legacy Organization, retired Navy Captain William Toti, whose significant military accomplishments include serving as the final commander of another USS Indianapolis, the Los Angeles-class submarine that was in service until 1998.
This book reveals kind of a, you would think it's a microcosm of the history of a single ship and a group of sailors, African-American sailors on that ship. But it's not really just that microcosm. It's actually endemic of a much larger story in the history of the Navy. And it's a dark story, one that we don't want to think about, but is true. And the fact that these African-Americans and Filipinos were grouped together in a class, a second-class category of sailors. So you've got a group of American citizens who are African-American and a group of people who aren't Americans. And they're all kind of categorized together and given very limited opportunities to serve on Navy ships during that time. You know, as it turns out, in this case, none of them survived. They suffered this horrible fate because of where they were berthed when the ship was torpedoed. So because none of them survived, we don't really know their stories until we really start digging into it. That was a lot of work to get that done, and that work is reflected in this book.
And you've been familiar with this story for a long time. Does it feel to you like an onion where more layers keep getting peeled off? And do you have a feel for what layers may still be to come? Because I'm thinking back, you know, since people really started engaging with this story, we've seen Captain McVeigh exonerated. We've seen, you know, the documentary that Sarah worked on, the book with Lynn and Sarah, now this book. What's next? What do you think could still come that we may still learn about the Indy that we don't know yet?
That's the incredible part about the, you know, that's an overused metaphor, the layers of an onion. But it really is true here. Because the more we discover, little bits and snippets are revealed, and then you chase those elements down and you find another entire category of information opens up. I still have been, I've been saying for two decades without evidence that Captain McVeigh decided to cease zigzagging because he knew of the ultra intelligence that indicated that we were reading the Japanese mail. And so when people in Guam told him, you're going to be in a bathtub, basically, it's backwater. There are no submarines in the area you're going to transit through. He's listening to those words with the knowledge that the people who are telling them this are reading Japanese message traffic and know precisely where those submarines are. If he didn't know about Ultra, then he might have been more cautious and made a different decision and continued zigzagging after dark, regardless of what the weather conditions were. But because he was chairman of the Combined Chiefs of Staff Intelligence Committee, in his job prior to being CO of Indianapolis, in my opinion, he would have been clear at Ultra. And so he's almost got too much information, and he trusted his routing officers more than he should have in retrospect. I still think that whole element of the story, I think sooner or later data will be revealed, which kind of gives credence to the story I've been telling for 20 years. Because as a Navy officer myself, I've been in situations where I believed certain things because I knew certain intelligence that later turned out I shouldn't have been so trusting of the intelligence. And that lesson to me predates my assertions on McVeigh, but informs my opinion. And so I very strongly believe that that's a story that's going to be revealed over time.
Is there part of the Indianapolis story or the Indianapolis legacy that you find yourself having to set straight sometimes? Are there some misconceptions that you're still dealing with, having been so closely associated now for so long?
Nearly every day. In fact, after I was elected chairman of the legacy organization, I put together a webpage on the USS Indianapolis.com website that specifically addresses the large category of mythology that has emerged since 1945. You know, and some of it was created by authors who wanted a great reveal in their book or in their article. So they take a rumor or innuendo and they, you know, kind of push it out as if it were ground truth. And it turns out to have been invented. And so, you know, things like Captain McVeigh holding a toy sailor or soldier in his hand when he committed suicide. I went to the police report. I have the photographs that were taken of his body as they discovered him. And there is no toy sailor soldier. There's no delineation of it or exposition of it in the police report. There are other myths like that, you know, that I think need to be addressed. And so I always ask reporters who want to do a story on the Indianapolis to go to the webpage and make sure that they understand the myths before they start reporting, because reporters often repeat the myths because they're breathless, right? This story is so incredible, it doesn't need embellishment. It really doesn't need any embellishment. And so it's heartbreaking that people do embellish it, because the bones of the story itself are so unbelievable. And so I really do want people to go to the website, understand why the real number of survivors is 316, not 317, understand all these various facts, what the truth is that we know about the sharks, because that's been greatly embellished, and everything else. Because focus on what really happened and the real heroes, not the breathless hyperbole that's emerged from the story.
One last question, if there's anything you want to add, feel free. But you've been involved with this for a long time, so many reunions in so many different places, the surprise of the ship being discovered a few years back, now this new chapter of its history with Heroes in the Shadows. But how special was it to have this reunion here in Benicia with the statue for Harold, while he's still here to soak it in?
It's an amazing coincidence that Harold, the last remaining survivor, lives 8 miles away from the last port of call that the ship made in the United States before its fateful voyage that ended in its sinking. So initially we thought we'd come out here just to be close to Harold, because we thought maybe he wouldn't be able to travel to us if we had it somewhere else, and he needed to be part of this reunion. But then when it occurred to me that, well, wait a minute, we're just a few miles away from Mare Island Naval Shipyard, where the ship went through its final refit after the kamikaze attack. So this would have been the port where the crew had its last liberty, its last true time off, because after they got underway to bring the bomb to Tinian, it was constant work to the point where they were sunk. So this is the last time the crew would have had to decompress to have a good time. And so we thought maybe that ought to be the theme of this reunion, that celebrate the crew's wonderful, you know, time in and around Mare Island, San Francisco, Bay Area. Make that the theme, the focus of this reunion. Because over the years, over the decades, we have spent plenty of time thinking about and talking about the sinking and the terrible ordeal that occurred after that. This gave us an opportunity. I think that the crew that was lost would want the families to think about the good times that they had right before the ship was on its final voyage. We tried to make that the theme. We need to remember the loss and the suffering, and we didn't ignore that during this reunion, but we did really want to focus on the good times that they had right before that final voyage, and I hope it was successful in doing so.
That's retired Navy Captain Bill Todi, chair of the USS Indianapolis Legacy Organization, which has a tremendous website for you to explore, and I have that linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com, where you can also order this new book, Heroes in the Shadows. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time, when we'll be reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.